Yo, it's me, Alan, and it's the WAMC Vox Pop. It's the afternoon call-in talk show, and pardon me, we're talking about politics today and all kinds of things, current events. There's no shortage of emotionally charged headlines. First, Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy has banned state-funded travel to Indiana over that state's newly passed Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which many argue is blatant discrimination against LGBT individuals. Indiana isn't the first state to enact a law like this, so why is this particular instance riling everyone up? Second, investigators are still trying to figure out why a 27-year-old pilot downed a Germanwings plane and killed 150 people. Was he mentally unstable? And is all his speculation about his mental state creating an additional stigma around the mentally ill? Third, the death penalty trial of Boston Marathon bombing suspect Zohar Sunarev is underway. The prosecution has made its case using grisly images of the three bombing victims in court, but the death penalty is the subject of great debate still, and many in Massachusetts oppose it. So how will this play out? And then finally, there is the face of Hollywood film magnate Harvey Weinstein is splashed across the tabloids today, accused of molesting a 22-year-old model. Are the rags fishing for some major bait, or is this a legitimate claim? 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You know, we have guests on almost every day on the Vox Pop to help us all along, but today is our day, yours and mine. We're talking politics here, and we'd love to hear from you, and this is a good time. Right now, there's two phones that are blinking. There are three that are not, 1-800-348-2551, and I invite you to use them. We really want to hear from you on all of this, and if you want to talk about the disgrace we call the New York State Legislature, that's okay, too. Here we go. Let's go to Lee in Greenfield. Lee, you're on.
Thank you. My comment is on the Indiana and all the other laws that like follow suit. The laws that protect the religious objections of you know, pharmacists and for not they don't want to hand out deal with birth control because it's against their religion and my comment is these bakers and pharmacists and everything, they picked the wrong profession to be in. They're dealing directly with the public, and they want to be in business. They want to make money. They want a profession. They want to go to school for the education and be a pharmacist or whatever. And they don't want to deal with certain types of people. Go away. I don't want you as a customer. I don't want you as a client.
A lot of angry people, Harley.
Pardon me?
A lot of angry people.
There are a lot of angry people. Yeah, it's like, why did you pick this profession if you don't want to deal with certain types of people?
Yeah, well, we all have them living on our block and other places. You just know who they are. I don't know who raised them or, you know.
Yeah, if you don't want to deal with certain types of people, apply to be a third shift janitor. You won't come in contact with all these people.
Actually, you probably will. Hey, Lee, I get your main point. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Let's go to Lee in Ulster. Another Lee. Okay, Lee, you're on.
Alan, I'm going to wag my finger in the air for a sentence or two here because this Indiana thing really has me exercised.
Okay.
You know, I mean, once upon a time, a very significant case was made that those who fled this country to avoid persecution as non-Papists needed to be protected from state-sponsored religion. I mean, the original case to separate church and state was an attempt to prevent religion from becoming an overwhelming influence in formulating secular law. The thing that kills me is that it's like an evil genius of this movement is the twisting of that vocabulary to now imply that it's necessary to keep government out of the way of the church, instead of keeping the church out of government.
I find that a very compelling point, Lee. I do.
It's amazing to me that it's never addressed in that way, that somehow or other the media goes forward with the assumption that the argument that's being made is the argument, when it's not.
Well, I don't know what to add to that. I think it was very well stated, and I appreciate it a lot. Thank you, Lee.
Bye.
Okay, if you happen to hear a drilling going on in the background, if you happen to hear a drilling going on in the background, much like in your dentist office, that's because we're fixing this place up, and we apologize to you. And that's right. And I'll never listen to another general again. Okay, now, 1-800-348-2551. We will go to Bill in Belchertown, but not before I tell you that, just in, Governor Cuomo has now banned non-essential state travel to Indiana. Quote, today I direct all agencies, departments, boards, and commissions to immediately review all requests for state-funded or state-sponsored travel to the state of Indiana and to bar any such publicly funded travel that is not essential to the enforcement of state law or public health and safety. The ban on publicity-funded public, sorry. The ban on publicly funded travel shall take effect immediately. New York State has been and will continue to be a leader in ensuring all LGBT persons enjoy full and equal civil rights. With this action, we stand by our LGBT family members, friends, and colleagues to ensure that their rights are respected. Okay, and we'll now go to Bill in Belchertown. Okay, Bill, how you doing?
Yeah, just thanks for taking the call. Sorry, I don't have any comments on that item. Over the past, 6 months or so, we've seen some pretty graphic things on the internet, photographs, video, in the newspaper, and so on. Noticed your debate there on your morning show about those topics. Today I heard about the Harvey
Weinstein.
Issue. So we can't say no on one topic and yes on another.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I saw images in the 60s of flag-draped caskets, being taken off the planes, and I had an immediate gut reaction. Let's get out of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
The pistol to the North Vietnamese head, the 9-year-old girl partially naked running, dripping in napalm. These things radicalize us just as they do with other people. It doesn't go into a mental, gee, am I against the war? Am I for the war? It goes right to the gut. Because I don't like sexual abuse, I don't think Harvey's a good guy, just like I don't think we were good in starting a war.
And we don't really know if Harvey, we don't really know the full facts there.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
it's possible he did it, but on the other hand, it's also possible he didn't.
And we can have things that seem like the truth, a photograph, given in ways that can lie.
Sure.
But it still goes to the point of it's important for us to see these things. We can change the channel. We can turn our head away. But I appreciate the media for giving us what they can.
I appreciate your call, Bill. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. There are two free phones right now. Get online. We'll have you in a minute. Let's go to Bob in Albany. Bob, you're on. Bob. Hey, come on, Bob. Let's go. Oh, okay. Bob's off. Bob broke the essential rule. And what is that rule? And he's punished for it because you can't listen to the radio. You have to stay on the phone because there's a several-second delay between us and the phone caller. We've talked about this before. So 1-800-348-2551. Tim in Ballston Spa. Okay, Tim, you're on.
Yeah, maybe I just haven't been paying attention to the news and this Hernandez thing, but it seems to me that there are all these security films or tapes from within his house that are incriminating. Didn't he know that he had a security system?
One always wonders about that, doesn't one, Tim? I mean,
yes.
People make these mistakes all the time. The first mistake, of course, is doing anything bad. And then, there isn't the corner. Let me tell you this. We have security cameras at WAMC because from time to time we've had a little problem here and there. And the police regularly come in to check, what's gone on the street. So I know that this is, we're not unique in this, and yet people still continue to do this. And by the way, we have signs up all over the place about, you know, this area is televised.
So, but this was his own house.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure. Well, you make a good point, Tim. Thank you very much for calling. I always shrug my shoulders and I say, what could this guy have been thinking when somebody goes into a dorm room, and we see this in Massachusetts right now, and three guys go in and rape a drunk woman, an allegedly drunk victim, allegedly. Who does that? Whose parents raised them? How? How did that happen?
Tim, did they film it?
No. No, but they have. In the past, that's been done. Thank you, Tim.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a short break. I mean short. A couple of seconds. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Cowan's Auctions, accepting consignments in the areas of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more. 518-396-7994 for appointments. Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, announcing their annual community Seder, the first night of Passover, Friday at 6 p.m., 518-584-8730 for reservations. Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. The Whistling Kettle Tea Shop and Cafe in Ballston Spa, celebrating the one-year anniversary of the cafe in downtown Troy, New York, featuring a private room for parties and special events. TheWhistlingKettle.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953. SHEEHY Opticians.com. And Habitat Post and Beam, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, designing and manufacturing energy-efficient post and beam homes and additions throughout the Northeast since 1972. PostandBeam.com.
One free phone, get online. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Russ, and thanks to all who are calling. Let's go to Russ in Albany. Russ, you're on.
Yeah, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was hearing this thing about the separation between church and state. This kind of the reason why our America is going downhill. It's because that we separated. We took out the Bible from schools, and we let our morals go downhill. Mm-hmm. And our church views, or the church should have an influence on our government.
Mm-hmm.
And we have too much government trying to take over what our needs are, and what our desires are. They want to, you know, they want to control us. They want to control us, and in fact, and make it like it's a nanny state.
Hey, Russ, I just wanted to intervene and ask you a question. I'm not sure what you're talking about here. Are you talking about, for example, LGBT issues?
Well, in that way also, too. It's like, you know, we've kind of lost our moral compass.
Well, wait a second. So you're presenting a fact pattern that in fact if homosexuality, lesbianism, transvestites, whatever, are immoral. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there is a lot of hurt people in this world, a lot of hurt people, and they things are needed or things are used as a deflection, you know, and People need people. People need to have significant love and affirmation. And people find escapes and different routes and different things. You're not really born that. You're not born that way.
Well, there are people who will tell you that people are born that way. There are major scientists who will tell you that the genetic makeup of people's...
It's all a lie of the evil one. It's all the lie. It's a lie from Satan.
Okay.
It's a lie for Satan.
Listen, this is an opinion...
But we're a republic. We are a republic, United States, and we should stand strong.
Okay.
We should stand strong in our views.
Well, Russ,
we
I don't...
bring the Bible back
okay.
into...
Okay, Russ, hold
Sorry.
On. I don't agree with a word you're saying. However, I do appreciate your calling. Really, I mean that. Thanks a lot, Russ. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Bob in Albany. Bob, you're on.
Give me a moment. Your last call really took me back. But not what I wanted to not what I wanted to speak about. It was tempting. Medical marijuana restrictions that are being put in place in New York State, which got a big play in the talks today, unfortunately weren't on the roundtable this morning. Really frightening stuff for anybody who is going to look towards marijuana as a potential therapy in the next several years. And I don't get why Cuomo is not being stronger in terms of making it more available and for more illnesses, more locations, less restrictions, because it's such a clear win for a Democrat to be in favor of this. The only thing that comes to mind is there's a real fear of minorities getting to enjoy it.
Why minorities? I mean, the people I know who smoke pot are anything but, well, they're not always minorities. They are quite frequently white middle-class people.
If you look at the history of drug laws in this country, they come into place. They come into place and become stronger and stronger when minorities are using it. When white people are using cocaine, using grass, in the early 20th century, it's legal. Mm-hmm. When black people and Hispanic people start using it, it becomes illegal and becomes very illegal and becomes very jailable. And I think we're replicating that in New York State.
Okay, let me try to answer your question about Cuomo.
Sure.
It's interesting. If you read the new book by Michael Schneerson, The Contender, you'll see that Cuomo fashions himself as a middle of the roader. And I suspect the reason for that is if you're going to run for president of the United States, remember that, you know, there's a big distance between New York and San Francisco, and that he sees himself and wants to position himself as a moderate. Now, on the gay stuff, which we're hearing, I just read a news announcement. He's been terrific from my perspective because he just, you know, he understands the needs of people to be loving each other and the rest. So I'm just simply saying it's a matter of political placement that is probably controlling.
I'm sure you're right. Even though Rand Paul seems to be getting a lot of play for his much more liberal marijuana views, and you know that would seem like as easy a step for Cuomo to take as jumping on the bandwagon already started rolling by San Francisco and Connecticut to not spend money in Indiana, but.
Yeah, but I don't think Rand Paul's going to be a presidential candidate, to be honest with you. I mean, he's taken this. I hear from a lot of young people who love him. They love him because of this. But on the other hand, he's got some fairly reactionary views, too, in life. And I think that, you know, you take one, you take the other.
Well, remember, Cruz has already stepped in. So whether it'll be a viable candidate, I don't know. But certainly nothing prevents Paul from stepping in.
Oh, no.
Just like Cruz has.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
A pleasure.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Jim in Albany. Jim, I'm going to give that phone number 1-800-348-2551, and you're on, man. Go.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Good.
Hey, I want to talk about the discrimination against the women's basketball tournament.
Right.
The USA Today has the biggest circulation of any paper in the country.
Yep.
95% of their sports section is about men. 95% of the pictures are men. Why is there so much discrimination against the women and the women's sports in this country, and nobody talks about it?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. That's why I'm Hayward. You're the expert. Now, Alan,
no,
you taught at SUNY.
Expert. I'm well, look, here's what I think.
But wait, let me ask you about SUNY.
Yeah.
The SUNY women, they were not on the radio this year at all. Even when they went to the tournament for the fourth straight year in a row, they got a great coach, as you know, Katie Abramson Henderson. And they're not on the radio, all the men's games, Siena and Albany.
Well, wait a second now. We've been talking about the women's, the Albany team on the roundtable for morning after morning. I don't know where you get that.
Oh, you have, Alan. Yes, yes, I mean the play-by-play.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Jim, you know, there is a tradition of sexism in this country. We know that. I have seen in one of the papers this morning. My problem is, Jim, I read six papers every day, and there was a big picture of a wonderful picture. Oh, I guess it had to be the Times Union. It was the Times Union today. Huge picture of the women's tournament in the sports section.
Thanks. I'll check it out, Alan.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. I thank you for calling, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now we have four free phones, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. I need you. or I want you, check in. Okay, here we go. Rich in Rhinebeck. Rich, you're on.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hello. Hello, Rich.
You, can you hear me?
We can barely hear you, yeah. Stay close to the phone.
All right. So, a little disturbed by a couple of your listeners, but...
Really?
What I would want to mention is that I don't care about Indiana. I don't care about the guy in California. What I care about is New York State. What I care about is Cuomo. What I care about is why are our utilities all now not American-owned? Why is there only one American-owned utility in New York State? What's going on with our schools? What's going on with teachers that are trying to find jobs that have $150,000 in debt and they can't find jobs? That's the problems I care about in New York.
Well, that's fair. As you know, this radio station does more about state politics than any other radio station, period, ever. The Capital Connection and Legislative Gazette and all of that. But the fact is, and I'm going to tell you a secret, okay? Every time we do a show here on Vox Pop on state politics, guess what? You can't get the phones to ring. What do you think that's about?
Well, people don't care.
Yeah, and how do we switch? I mean, I know what I'm doing. I taught the subject all my life. You know, I invented the Legislative Gazette newspaper. It brings people up here. I have these programs on about state politics all the time. We bring the best reporters on, keep the worst ones off. No question that people just don't want to talk about New York State politics, let alone...
Tell me, my friend, how is it possible that, respectfully, that a public service commission can farm out all the utilities to other countries? Our infrastructure itself, our jobs, our the money that's derived from those entities are going to other countries. How do we let that happen?
So I take it that you have a thesis on this.
I don't.
Well,
I can't figure out. We could ever let it happen.
It's all about money. It's all about money. Somebody's making money somewhere each time you see something like that happening. And also, don't forget that Americans have their share of businesses abroad. And the minute you start saying, "Okay, you can't be here," somebody's going to say, "Then you can't be here." So there's a certain amount.
I do believe that certain entities, you know, when I see my level of service perhaps deteriorate, when I see used to be a truck that I knew the guy that drove it that came to read my meter to now be a contract guy that I'm sketched about even letting near my house, and I see a deterioration of the fundamentals of our society where the people at different skill sets were able to get jobs where that is not even in the thought process of today's government.
Okay, I want to ask you this. Do you think, respectfully, that it's possible that your attitude about outsiders coming into this country is mirrored in the polling, in the elections we're seeing in France, in other places, and England, where the whole, you know, sense of we don't want them here gets replayed over and over again?
It's not so much that I'm saying that. It's that I don't want my profits sent over there.
No, but I understand. But I think it's all...
As simply as I say, for infrastructure alone, infrastructure, this is what we're talking about, is our national infrastructure.
But isn't it all part of one continuum?
Do tell.
Well, no, I think it is. Hey, Rich, I got to let you go, but thank you for the call. You certainly raised an interesting topic, and we should do a whole Vox Pop on that one. Thanks again, Rich.
Take care.
Right. Let's go to Nancy in Middletown. Nancy in Middletown, you're on.
Oh, hi, Alan. Thank you.
Sure.
Governor Cuomo has forbidden fracking in New York State, for which I thank him. I'm very grateful. But now they want to put in a holding tank for these fracked gases just south of Middletown.
Uh-huh.
The gases will come over from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And they'll be held here in the town of Huaybianda. That will include, it's a 650-megawatt power plant with two 275-foot smokestacks, compressor station, electrical intellects, million-dollar diesel tank, ammonia tank, all of these things which are going to be highly volatile, and all the... chemical-laden smoke is going to come out of the smokestacks.
Okay, I got you. Okay, we got it. Now, let me ask you this, Nancy. Don't you think that a lot of people in New York State, and by the way, you know that nobody's been more passionate about the anti-fracking stuff than I have, but don't you think New York State, we're all using, I know I am, gas? Fracked gas? Don't you think we are?
Well, this isn't even for this area. This is only a holding tank, and it's going to go down to Long Island or Westchester or somewhere. Apparently, we have enough right here, and it's not for, it's not even for us.
Well, so you think that if it's going down to Long Island, that it's inappropriate to house it up here?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it's inappropriate to contaminate the air. The water is going to be used, our city of Middletown water.
Yep.
Is going to use 360 gallons a day, and so that will contaminate the Wallkill River. There's an awful lot of contamination. We've simply got to look at wind power or solar power and stop doing all this natural gas stuff, I think.
Nancy, I appreciate your call very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to Chet in Monterey. Chet, you're on.
Oh, hi, it's Kat. Hi,
Alan. Oh, Kat, yeah.
Oh, yeah, just a comment on the kerfuffle in Indiana. It seems that if Governor Mike Pence can get away with pandering to bigots, he will. But as soon as the financial well-being of the state is threatened, he completely backtracks.
Oh, did he backtrack?
Don't you think so? I do.
Well, I must say I'm so busy that I didn't see what happened today. Something special happened today?
Actually, I don't know. Perhaps backtracking isn't the right word, but it
well, what he wanted to do is explain that he never had any such intention of getting after gay people. I heard that explanation, but you know, that didn't mean much.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It just seemed to me that the whole thing was I guess I have a question for you. Well, I mean, why do you think people are so upset?
Well, that's something I talked about on the on the roundtable this morning, you know.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, well, no, but not at all. But what happens is that politicians make mistakes all the time. And every once in a while, that genie comes out of the bottle, and when they least expect it, it bites them right in the behind.
Yeah.
Let me give you a good example of that fracking and Governor Cuomo. Right? I don't think he was for it in the beginning. I don't think he had any concept that it would turn into, as we say, the next big thing. And I think what happens is in Indiana, it's not exactly the same law as other states have, but there are many other states which have similar laws, right? And so he thought he'd get away with it. And I loved your word pandering because that's exactly what he did. He was going to go into worrying about a Republican primary at some point, somebody would run against him and be even more conservative than he was, and he did it. And in fact, today, one of the interesting things was that Jeb Bush came along, who was having trouble with the conservatives in his party, and said that he basically thought that the law was a good one in Indiana. And
is that right? Oh, that's interesting.
Well,
talk
because he said,
huh?
Well, yeah, because he wants, he knows who comes out and votes in Republican primaries.
Yes.
We all do.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the word pandering, because I think that's exactly what happened in this case. And you're right about another thing, and that is that when it gets to be, we're going to lose business here, and we're going to become the laughing stock of the country, and Governor Cuomo is going to come along, and he's going to say, we're not letting anybody travel to Indiana from New York, on the state payroll, this becomes embarrassing for them, because they're all for getting more business, not less.
Right. So that's what they really believe in. It's, the rest of it's just pandering. But it's disgusting to pander to bigots, I think.
Well,
I don't know.
I think you'd get a lot of people agreeing with you. I think you'd get a lot of people agreeing with you on that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
okay,
it a lot.
Okay, sure thing.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Okay, let's go to Stuart in Kingston. Stuart, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Alan, Stuart Dean from Kingston.
Yep.
I grew up in Kentucky. Back in the 60s, and I saw all those nice politicians doing their bigoted dance, and, Happy Chandler and people that are just as greasy and devious like Mitch McConnell now. And I just smile when the governor of Indiana steps into that bear trap and it closes on him, because he can you know, dance and talk all he wants, but there's that trap firmly closed around his legs.
Are you sure?
Standing there in the spotlight.
Stuart, are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
You are? Because I'm not so sure. I think he wants it both ways, you know. I think
he, oh, of course yeah, he yeah. does. But the thing is,
I mean, you got Jeb Bush, of all people, probably the leading Republican contender, coming out and saying he likes the law.
Yep, I know that. And it's an increasing slope where the Republicans, who were once a party of principle and true conserving conservatism, are now a party of bigots, extremists, and nutcases.
Hey, listen, Stuart, we got to go because I'm up against a little breaklet here. And thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. Okay, we'll take a short break.
Support comes from the Capital District YMCA, working to help those in need across the Capital Region with scholarships for childcare, for membership, and more. CDYMCA.org. NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. Curtis Lumber, working to support their communities through their Pet Connection sponsorship and by providing professional services and supplies to owners and contractors. CurtisLumber.com. The Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 to 5, where the wild world of the Adirondacks opens before your eyes. WildCenter.org. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. And Stories Nursery, Freehold, featuring Easter lilies, tulips, and spring flowers and plants. Monday through Saturday, 9 to 4:30, and Sundays, 9 to 4. A gardener's destination, StoriesNursery.com.
And we are back, and by the way, there are three people on the phone. That leaves two open lines. People go quick. You'll be up before you know it. We'd love to go to Jeff in Gardner. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
Listen, when you were listing your accomplishments about bringing statewide politics to the people of
I don't
New
know
York
about accomplishments. I don't know about accomplishments. I know about efforts.
Well, your efforts. And you left out me and Mario, which was such a favorite of mine, where every Sunday evening, for a half hour, the governor would just answer almost every one of your questions and just talk about his thinking and his feeling about issues that were right at hand. And since then, we moved to Pataki, who we never saw unless it was time for an election, and then he was on a commercial with some black kids on a stoop of a city or something. But I want to get to my point now. The bewildering nature of the Congress of New York State.
The legislature of New York State?
I mean, yes. The people would elect more Democratic senators than Republican senators, but if a few suspects, individuals being investigated for corruption, decide to caucus with the Republicans, then in fact the Senate is in charge of Republicans are in charge of the Senate. If you would tell me how a normal person could understand this.
Be glad to. First of all, I want to react to your question about Cuomo. I had a letter today from somebody in the family, I don't want to say who just said that he listened to those programs as he was fading. And believe me, the tears were coming out of my eyes. They really were.
Yeah.
And
well, it was a beautiful thing.
And I thank you for remembering that. But I want to tell you about New York State government. Nothing is what it seems, right? So let's take a look at Andrew Cuomo. He runs for the first time and he says, "I will not allow them to draw their own districts." Think about that.
You're bringing up a sore subject.
Democracy. We're talking about democracy now.
It's a sore subject.
How can you have a democracy if you let the incumbents draw the districts where they can't lose in? Well, he runs on that quite correctly. people vote for him overwhelmingly. I'm not saying not because anything, but I think a part, big part of it was his name, but he runs on it. He was right. He was on the white horse, and he was doing what he had to do, right? But, in fact, he gets in office, and he trades it away, just like he stopped the Moral Endowment Commission. And he trades it away, and he lets them draw their own districts. Now, are there more Democrats than Republicans in New York State? Of course there are. Should the Senate have gone Democratic when the next time out? Certainly it should have. But in fact, if you allow somebody to get a great computer and say, oh, great computer, draw me districts where I can't lose, it's going to do that. And that's exactly what has happened here. And it's his fault. Now, one last thing. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Yeah,
why do you think he did that? Why?
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
He wanted the Republicans to control the Senate so he didn't have to be the bad guy.
Those were exactly the words that I would have used in answering your question. The comfort of being able to not have to worry about things passing that he didn't want to pass, but yet he didn't have to get out there and put it down.
Yep, that's what I think. That's what it's.
But the mechanism, the actual. You're a professor of this subject. Can you describe for me the actual mechanism by which the Democrats elected to government decide to caucus with the Republicans so that they can be in the lead and run the majority and run the agenda?
So the only question I have for you, Jeff, as long as we're asking each other questions, is what is the world's oldest profession? Is it being a politician?
Prostitution?
Or is it the other thing? You know full well. Jeff Klein and his guys get out there. Look, I think...
I've never heard of anything like this.
Well,
in any other...
No. It happens. It doesn't happen very often. But there were... Let me just say, without getting into it all here, there were racial politics involved in this. Remember, the Democratic leadership at the time was diverse. And here these guys... Are you following me? And here these
guys
get out here and they say, we want our piece of the pie. And they buy them. They make them chairman of committees. They give them a little extra money.
Yeah.
They do
yeah.
this. That's disgusting. But that's the way it went. Hey, Jeff, I appreciate your call very much.
It was terrible news, Alan. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. 1-800-348-2551. I got three free phones. I want you. Let's go to our friend Don in Great Barrington. Hi, neighbor.
My neighbor. Sorry. This is just a comment about the German Wings co-pilot. And post-hypnotic suggestion, perhaps you've heard of that word.
Yeah.
And it's undetectable. And the way it works, just briefly, is you hypnotize somebody, you give them a suggestion to be acted upon at a later date upon a signal. The co-pilot has come across as unresponsive. He's just silent. No reaction to any outside stimulus, as though he were in a trance.
So this is the Manchurian Candidate, you're saying?
Exactly. From 1962, a great film was made of it, and then I guess a more recent one with Denzel Washington. But the concept is based on the novel back in 59 or something like that.
So you really believe that? You think that's what was at work here?
No. I anticipate, certainly, it could be. It's very realistic.
What's the hint? What makes you think so, Don?
Thank you for asking. This is the way somebody would behave. There is no way you can get through that that post-hypnotic state that the
man but that's only one of a 10,000 possibilities here. In other words, you know, first of all, I don't buy it. But let's assume for a second, you certainly are entitled to raise it. But what makes you think it wasn't the fact that what he told his girlfriend or that the girlfriend was pregnant and he was angry or that 10,000 other possibilities were there? Why in the world should we buy this?
Well, he is a subject for somebody to come along just as though he had... he could be blackmailed or whatever. He got into a situation with people who could do this, just as in the Manchurian Candidate.
Okay, listen, man, keep taking those pictures, and we'll see you on your bike around the neighborhood. Thank you, Don. Appreciate
it. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let's go to Susie in Schenectady. Susie, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I just want to tell you thank you so much for everything you do. I've really grown up with you on this station, and I so appreciate you. I'm a public school teacher.
Great.
And I just want to say thank you, a thousand thank you for what you do to champion us and what we do in our classrooms every day. I just want to call and say that I just feel so betrayed by Governor Cuomo. I feel that he is trying to destroy public education, and by that I mean public schools, not charter schools. I feel that it really is a cornerstone of our democracy. Public schools take everybody, they educate everybody, and he's trying to destroy them. And I don't understand why, and I'm very frustrated by it. And I heard today that the assembly is, that they're considering backing off of this final deal that they've finally come to. And I before I left school today, I called all of my representatives again and said, please, please do not back off. Do not let Governor Cuomo ruin public school education.
Well, you know, it's interesting. First of all, Susie, thank you for your service, and I mean that. The fact that teachers are the best things that we have in this country, and that politicians would exploit them and try to get on their shoulders and turn people against them is beyond anything that I think is appropriate in our society. Look, there can be honest differences of opinion about education and how you do it. But when you start to do the kinds of stuff that we're seeing recently, it's awful. You know, I wrote a column on this week.
I read it.
Yeah,
yeah, I read it.
I don't think it's anything I've ever written has been tweeted so many times and retweeted.
I retweeted it, and I put it on my Facebook, too. I want to thank you. I really, truly do not understand what Cuomo is doing. I don't understand why he is trying to demonize and demoralize teachers. I have been out there rallying, I've been marching, I've been carrying signs, I've been writing letters, I urge everybody to do it. I don't know why people are not just standing up outraged at what he is trying to privatize public education. And it really infuriates me that he would insult us and say that we are a special interest group, when really, I think our dear governor is the one who is in the back pockets of all of these billionaire hedge fund owners who are trying to destroy public education and privatize it. And it is a travesty and a tragedy, and it's wrong.
Susie,
it is absolutely wrong.
Susie, I agree with every word you've said. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. 1-800, I think it's disgraceful. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Norman in New Jersey. Hiya, Norman. You're on.
Hi, Alan. I was just wondering what you know about the depletion of our freshwater resources by industry, and also about the exportation. Do you know anything about exporting our freshwater?
I don't, Norman. This is a subject I don't know too much about, and I'm going to have to start looking at it. It sounds like it might be a very good program to do here.
Okay.
Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Appreciate
yep.
it. Thanks.
Yep.
Have a good day. Bye.
Yep. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We got plenty of time. Let's go to Jim in Scotia. Jim, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. I'm given the wake. Hello?
Yeah, you're here.
Yeah, in the wake of the current decision on the budget in New York State, I was picking up something about failing schools and new rules for them.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about did the governor get his way in having failing schools be turned right over to the state, or hopefully something has fallen short of that in the budget?
Well, you know what, Jim? I read the papers very carefully every day, and I'll be darned, for want of a better word, if I can understand what the final agreement is. We are hearing now that the assembly is getting, we heard from the last caller, is getting so much pressure on having caved to the governor on some of this stuff, including the fact that the testing will determine whether or not, in large part, whether or not a teacher is seen as a failing teacher. Now, let me just talk about that for a second. I'm furious about the idea. If somebody goes to serve in an area which is underserved by education, where parents often are one family parents, not that all parents who are one parent families are deficient, but in large part that is true. If you have in an economically deprived area, that's true. So now you're going to test those teachers who are giving their all, going into almost an impossible task because society has created these inequities between the rich and the poor and set up poor neighborhoods and say to them, we are going to pick on you because we don't think you're doing your job right? I think that's disgusting.
Yeah, and to make the aid so hard to have for them, yeah.
So, Jim, thank you. I want to get to everybody. Thanks again. Appreciate
right.
it.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's go to Stan in Poughkeepsie. Stan, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just want to make a comment on your your referral to the
world's oldest profession. Yeah.
Isn't politicians the same thing? They're, after all, they're both paid for.
Good point. This is Stan, well put. Thanks a lot.
Another thing I'd like to say, listening to your comments about education.
Yeah.
My daughter in high school had a teacher that was on the retirement track.
Yep.
This guy showed up once a week.
Yep.
Now, how is my daughter is supposed to get an education, and this was in mathematics, when the guy's showing up, you know, like once a week?
Well, we don't know. Look, this is an anecdotal story. I am sure you're right, and I am sure that there may have been illness, there may have been anything. But here's what I'm going to say to you. Every profession, including politicians, has some real bad actors. But 98% of these teachers who go in and make this, give their lives to education, are good people, and they're strong.
I agree.
And they're strong people. And we don't, on the basis of a few bad apples, say we're going to basically destroy the morale of a whole educational community. We just don't. It's just not right.
Alan, I agree with you. My wife is a retired teacher, and my daughter is currently one. So I agree. There's some bad apples in the whole thing, and unfortunately, they're the ones that stand out. And it's the same with politicians. I'm from a family of politicians. Most of those guys are very decent, hardworking individuals, but you get the one or two that are taking it under the table from anybody who wants to pay them off, and it ruins it for everybody.
Well, Stan, I thank you for calling. I want to try to get everybody in. Thanks again.
Okay, good enough. Bye-bye. Okay.
Let's go to Maria in Rensselaer County. Maria, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just would like to speak up about public education. Well, not even public education, just education in general.
Yep.
There's a lot of failure going on in the classrooms, and it's not always the parents' fault. When parents are asking for help for their children and they can't get it,
yep.
I mean, what is left when their child is classified as special ed and isn't getting the remedial instruction, and for years is passed through and passed through and passed through,
yeah.
not getting it. And you've gone through the process that's in place, the procedural safeguard process, and spent thousands, like almost close to $10,000. Well, the school is getting paid $27,000 to educate the kid from another school district, in my case, because I had a foster child. And they still didn't do anything.
Okay, Maria, only because it's so late in the program, I want to thank you for the call. I think it's a very important subject, and I certainly understand that there are schools that don't do the right thing. And thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Lisa in Niskayuna. Lisa, we're almost out of time. You got to make it real fast.
Hey, I'm just calling to ask that you do another show on the education, because there's a lot of us that really care a lot about this, and we're mad at our governor for bullying the teachers, but we're also mad at a lot of our teachers because the tenure program provides no incentive for teachers who are really great at this job to be even greater, and the ones that are
phoning it in.
Lisa,
stop.
The governor's so frustrated.
Okay, stop right now. I got to tell you, we're out of time, but I want you to go to Leading Educators. My son is dealing with exactly this problem. I think you're going to be very impressed by what you see. But we are out of time, and I want to thank everybody, including William of Otsego County, we didn't get to, and Barbara of Boston, we didn't get to her, and David of Albany, we didn't get to him either. Okay, so that's it, folks, and this is the end of the show. And now I got to go fast. We're out of time. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Where eyewear is an art, Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com. Lori Stillwell, CPA, PC. Lori Stillwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. Stillwell, CPA.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete counters, tops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com, and on Facebook, and the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery, the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond, skidmore.edu/Tang. And thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop, everyone. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update. And thanks to all of you for calling today.